Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's happening, folks? It's the Patriot Nation Radio Show live. I'm your host, Mark Hoffman. And tonight we are talking about local elections, because local elections matter, folks. They are extremely important. So please, if you're out there and you want to get an idea of what's going on and what I'm thinking when it comes to local elections, we're going to be speaking again with Natalie Kayla for County Commissioner, Mark Johnson for School Board. Our schools have been graded. We got an overall grade in our area as a B. None of our schools have gone backwards. Only one of our schools has gone forwards, and we maintain a B. My son's school is at an A. Hallelujah. My son's school is doing really good. I'm very proud and very happy with that. So, you know, we're going to have this show here right now in just 2 seconds. Check this out. Here it goes. Right now. Come on.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
Yes, indeed, folks. And check this out from Dave Gray, USA.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives, big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com, the official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
I never knew about at a funeral or like the last day when an officer has passed, and they actually go and the dispatch will close basically down the radio air for emergency only. And then she will call the badge number, or he will call the badge number from dispatch, and obviously there's never an answer. Brave soul has passed away in the line of duty. Felt like something needed to be done or to recognize that. And that's what the song is about, basically. It's about an officer who's, you know, gone down in the line of duty, and, you know, he's given his all. And, you know, when they do reach out for the last call, he answers back, and these are his words. And one thing a lot of people don't know, I know a lot of cops, you know, in and out of uniform. They are very human, just like you and I. Pick and choose what laws they uphold, but they have to uphold the ones that are put in place by our representatives. And our representatives are the people that we put in office. And the same people that are out there with their signs are the same people that are putting lunatics in office. Here's the wake-up call, people. Don't come down on the men and women in blue for doing their job. Come down on your representatives for passing these BS laws and get involved.
That's right, folks. It's the representatives that you're electing that are making the BS laws. Just like you heard right there from Dave Bray. DaveBrayUSA.com. Head on over, get Music on a Mission, and we'll play that very song at the bottom of the hour. Last Call, Dave Bray. You want to make sure you get over to the website and watch his video, as it is amazing. You folks there that are in the live feed, Steve Van Gordon, Terry, Joey, you guys are in the area. You guys are my Florida neighbors here. Some of you folks here in the live feed, I would implore that you stick around and listen to what Natalie and what Mark Johnson have to say and why we should vote for them locally. Folks, local elections are extremely important. Local elections matter. So here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Without further ado, I'm going to bring on my first guest tonight. Recently at an event here in Brooksville, Florida, and I asked her to come on the show there. She's running against incumbent Jeff Holcomb, who I voted for last round. So let's bring Natalie on right now, ladies and gentlemen. Without further ado, our featured guest, Natalie Kayla. What's happening? Welcome to the show. I am not butchering your name,
Mark.
Right?
You are saying it totally correctly, and that's awesome. Almost nobody ever does. So great job on that. It is a great tool for telemarketers, though, because I always know to hang up when they call because they just butcher the name.
Right.
But I do agree with you that, you know, local elections have the ability to screw up your life more than almost any other form of government, because what we do affects everything that you do on a daily basis, from turning your water on in the morning to, you know, what stores are in
building,
the area for you to buy food from. Go ahead.
To building 3,000 homes off Dunkirk Avenue in a little tiny hamlet that could not handle another 3,000 to 6,000 automobiles on the road. Stuff like
correct.
That is seriously
yeah.
affected.
Yeah. No,
now, real
yeah.
fast, before we roll into the show, give us a little bio, where you're from, where you went to school, who you are, how old you are, all that fun stuff, a quick little bio, and then we'll get into the political stuff.
Sure. Well, I'm 46 years old and was born in Pittsburgh and raised in Pennsylvania, where I went to school all the way through, and then went to college at Grove City College in Pennsylvania, which is a conservative school. They're kind of the sister school of Hillsdale that everybody likes to talk about, and then moved to the South as soon as I graduated with my husband, and we have four kids, three of whom are now adults. One is still in school here in Hernando County, but they all graduated from Hernando High School. And we've been here 19 years and done a whole bunch of stuff. But most recently, I was the manager at Chinsegut Hill Retreat and Museum and began that just as it reopened to the public to make sure that we got that place on the map.
Awesome. So there you have it, folks. This is she's born and raised up north. She's a damn Yankee like me, came down and never left.
That's right.
A lot of us that came down here from the north are very conservative and open to all the views of our southern brothers and sisters, especially the history of the Confederacy, because
yes.
we have no say
yes.
in that. We're from the north, and our ancestors probably fought for the north, and we have no say in what they do with their history. So I'm all for the preservation of Confederate statues. Are you, ma'am?
I am, and actually my husband's family had people fighting on both sides of the war. His drummer boy grandfather married a Confederate nurse who saved his foot when he was captured and rubbed it all night to keep it alive for him. But, no, I am absolutely at heart a states' rights person. And I chose to come to the South because this is the culture that I preferred. You know, you can't help where you're born and raised, and I did love that community. But we wanted to raise our children in the South because we like the mentality here.
Right. I can go to church here and not be ridiculed. You know, even though it doesn't matter, I went to church in New York, I go to church here. It doesn't matter. I went to church. Ridicule or no ridicule,
right.
I will not back down from the Lord because someone says, oh my God, you go to church? I had a guy at work.
Right.
They were trying to get us to work on a Sunday. I'm like, listen, I go to church. He goes, what? Who goes to church? I'm sorry to hear you go to church when there's money to be made. I said,
yeah.
Dude, man, I need some spiritual uplift. I work here, remember?
That's right. Well, and what's funny is a lot of my siblings, I'm the oldest of 10 kids, and my siblings are all over the state. But when I first told them I was going to run for office 4 years ago for city council, they said, Natalie, how are you going to run? You're a northern woman who is a pastor. They're like, nobody's going to elect a female pastor. And I said, no, I think Brooksville will. And, you know, they did because they understand that you need, you know, everybody's got principles. Everybody's got a worldview and they understand what mine is, you know, and that's what helped me be honest and make good decisions.
Now, my another guest I have coming on tonight is Mark Johnson. He's on the school board, and our schools did pretty good in the last school year. We did halfway decent. We didn't go backwards. We had no schools go backwards on their grading. We had one school go forward from a D to a C, we got a B. We got a B overall for education. We were almost at an A minus. We just missed an A minus. If we had one more school go ahead, you know, from a C to a B or from a D to a C, we probably would have went to an A minus.
Right.
You have all your kids went to school.
Made...
What do you think? What would you want to do as a county commissioner to get hand in hand with the school board to try and make the schools raise their grade a little bit? Besides taking all these standardized tests, we have to come up with a different plan than standardized tests in Common Core. Where do you stand on that stuff?
Yes, well, I mean, standardized testing got completely out of control. My kids were in elementary school with the FCATs, and just the complete lack of teachers to have any freedom to actually teach the kids anything other than to the test was very disturbing. And my kids tend to test well, but I was, you know, watching other kids with this extreme anxiety who may have been really good students, but they just were so nervous about that test because of what the adults had put on them that it was, you know, very disturbing. There is definitely a tricky line of power there. I mean, there's not a whole lot that we can do as far as the classroom or teacher pay or anything. But what we can partner with them in is bringing in a more diverse companies into this area, you know, whether we head into manufacturing, into IT, those sorts of things, where we can start making sure that we're bringing companies and then working with the schools to make sure that the training is occurring. I think one of the biggest disappointments and failures of this school system was opening Nature Coast as a technical school and then caving on that and turning it into a regular school and basically phasing out all of the technical programs. I think that has set us back a good 15 years in where we would have been otherwise if they'd stayed the course. And, you know, short of building another school, they're going to have a really hard time reversing that. So Mark does have some good ideas on how to make that happen with some off-site trainings, and I'm sure he'll talk to you about those. But those are the kinds of things we would partner with.
Amen. Good stuff. Now, I am an avid supporter of constitutional law. I love the United States Constitution, the way it was written, the history behind it, and the blood that was spilled to secure our freedom and our liberty. And one of the main things that are under attack now is our Second Amendment from all angles, it seems.
Yes.
Where do you stand on the Second Amendment? And then from there, I want to go on to the security at the schools that they're getting ready to, that they are putting at every school.
Sure.
Where do you stand on the Second Amendment?
Yeah, well, the Second Amendment, the Constitution, is to show the government the couple rights that it has, and then the people have the right to everything else. And it is supposed to be limiting their power of control over our lives. And so I would not ever pass a bill that or advocate for a bill that would restrict that. I think what the legislature did this last time in saying that you had to be 21 to buy a gun is absolutely asinine and completely contrary to what our national constitution says. I'm also very concerned about this trend. Yeah.
It makes it very hard for me to vote for Governor Scott for senator because he passed this law.
No, it was knee-jerk emotionalism that is not really going to change anything for criminals, and it's just going to restrict law-abiding citizens' rights to their guns.
You ever notice that? Every law restricts for the people that would be doing the protecting of others. Every law. Great.
But there's also a very disturbing trend in our Republican legislature in all of these constitutional amendments. They keep putting stuff and proposing things for the Constitution that have no business being there. Almost everything. Yes.
Well, I did two shows on the constitutional amendments, and folks, 7 through 13, because they were done by the Constitutional Commission of Hernando County, or of Florida, I would say all the backhanded, underhanded stuff that they're trying to put on there, even though it's a kick in the groin to people like our first responders, family survivors of those who passed on and military people, but they're trying to snake some things in on these constitutional amendments. 1 through 6, really look into those. There's some good ones there that you should vote for, some bad ones. But the 7 through 13, vote no on all of them. Just vote no.
I agree.
Because they are trying to change the Constitution and do shifty, shady stuff to us, and it's not right. And so 7 to 13, out the window. Vote no on number one, because number one, they want to, people like me, my house is worth, you know, less than $125,000, and it has to do with the homestead tax exemption, which I get right now.
Yep.
And if we pass number one, I lose it. So I'm voting no. Number two is from is the one about if you have multi-properties. And I think that you should be able to have some kind of cap on the taxes on your second house if you're paying taxes all the time and you're a resident and you stay here. And, of course, the most popular one is number four, the restoration of nonviolent felony voting rights, which I'm for because I am a libertarian. And that's part of my libertarian parts. So really research the amendments. I had, there was a great show. I had John Holman on, and he did all the research, and he was a great guest, and he really broke it down for us, and it's very important. Find it on my pages. If you want, I can post it again. I think I should right before the election. So folks, listen to
it. I do have that, and that homestead exemption, I think, is such a sneaky thing to do because people automatically think it will apply, and I actually have a website where you can plug in your address, and it will tell you how much money you're going to get, which for a lot of us is going to be nothing. And what it's going to cost is more money for small businesses, more money for the elderly and for people that rent, obviously for, you know, people that just live here part-time. But it is really a tax shift that is going to hurt our most vulnerable people the worst. And they're not even going to know it. They're just going to see tax cut and go, yahoo, let's do this. Very misleading.
I can't vote yes for that one, that's for sure, because my house is about $110,000. It's nice. It's here in the up on the hill. Here I am. All right, so we got, that's pretty good. Now, they got this proposed 3,000-home development. I was just over there. It's right around the corner from my house. I went over there, and I looked at the plot. It's a pretty large plot. They want to cram 3,000 houses in there. The roads are built to accept barely the houses that are there right now. Where do you stand on this, building 3,000 houses off Dunkirk Avenue?
Well, you know, that is one of those things where obviously this person actually can do it without a whole lot of permission from County Commission because of the size of the property. So it's going to be really important that the commission gets involved in the specifics of that project to make sure that it doesn't end up being 3,000 because they're saying that it's not really going to hurt road impact at all because people will start taking the buses and they're going to ride their bikes and all that. But I just don't think that's what our population does. You know, this is not New York City or D.C. where there's a subway.
I've been here 16
cars.
Years. Nobody going to be riding their bikes around.
Right. And it's where are you going to ride your bike anyway? You know, you're going to ride your bike on Mariner and risk somebody hitting you at 50 miles an hour when they shouldn't be going 50, but they all do.
Have you been at Mariner and Northcliffe at 5 p.m.?
Oh my gosh, yes. Yes. And
throw
in
3,000 more houses.
Right.
And now throw in 3,000 more houses, and if every house has two cars, that's 6,000 more cars in the neighborhood. Folks, if you live in Hernando County, you got to make sure you get in touch with folks and tell them, no way can we have this. We already live in a cluster F of traffic.
Right, right. And you can't avoid that there was going to have to be road widening. And, you know, those houses, some of them are pretty close to the road already. You just wonder how all of that is going to work and what that's going to do to the property value of the nearby homes.
Look what they did on Elgin when they widened that. They took some homes. They took some people's properties and cut them in half.
Right.
People are like, holy crap, I can't believe they're doing this to my house. Some people lost their homes. They had to go. See you later.
Right.
Crazy. We can't have that.
Right.
You know,
now,
I know
the developer, and he is a very nice man. He's a good man, and I don't think he's intentionally trying to do something that is going to be harmful. But the job of government is to provide that oversight to make sure that what's coming in is best for everybody and not just whoever you're doing the project for.
And is there a percentage of those homes that have to be aimed at low-income people? I wonder.
I don't use housing. Generally, you apply for that. I believe that would have already come up. But I do know that there are going to be a bunch of different sorts of houses. They are going to have condos and apartments and single family and duplexes. So there will be a very wide range of income, but I don't think any of it was subsidized housing.
Yep. Wow. Well, I think it's quite interesting, and it's going to be a quite a battle, I think, here with the residents. Most people don't know. Now, I see signs are popping up all over the place, these little signs that are saying, and I guess today at the courthouse, they had some kind of hearing. I didn't make it, of course, because I have to work. I have to, you know, pay for my little house and hope that the taxes don't go up on me. But we got the Second Amendment. We got the schools. We talked about the development of this property. In the last election, now this is going to be the most straight-up question of the night.
Woo!
Here you go. This is going to be like the hammer, the nail on the hammer. Last election, I voted for Jeff. You're running against Jeff. Why should those of us who voted for Jeff Holcomb vote for Natalie Kaler?
Well, I'll tell you why I got in the race. And it was after last budget season when they did not do a single budget workshop. And then Jeff voted against the 10th mill tax decrease. He said it wasn't worth doing, and so kept it at the higher rate. But they did not even look at that budget. They just voted yes. And then what happened 6 months later? They figured out that there were $12 million upside down. And what did they do? They fired the budget director. Well, guess what? That's not her. I mean, yes, did she need to be fired? Probably. But guess who passed the budget? Guess whose budget that is? And the most important thing that you do as a commissioner is pass the budget. So if you don't read it, that to me is a complete dereliction of duty, and I would not be able to vote for somebody that did not look at the budget.
Right on.
Now, they have miraculously, since it's campaign season, all of a sudden that $12 million upside down has been corrected, but I guarantee you we're going to see that again in December when the election is over. Because money, just unless they have a little money printing machine down in the basement, it's not fixed. And so one of the things I did on council was I brought forward a whole bunch of proposals of how to do things, not cut services and not cut jobs, but just change procedures that made things cheaper. And I had about $2 million of things that I proposed to council. Some of them they implemented and some of them they didn't like, but it made a difference, and that's the same thing I'll do at the county.
Excellent. If someone wanted to hook up and volunteer or something and, you know, help you out with your campaign or just to connect with you, how can folks connect? How can folks connect with you? There you go.
Well, the easiest way is my website. It's nataliekaler.com, K-A-H-L-E-R. And there is a contact email on there, and they can get with me on that. I always answer emails within 24 hours. I also have a Facebook page, Natalie Kaler for County Commission, that they can get. Those always work pretty quick. And, we would love to answer people's questions or meet them or whatever we need to do. On that website, you'll also see where I'm going to be. So if people want to come to events, they can do that. And my voting record's on there, too. I like full disclosure. I think the worst thing a politician can do is pretend that they agree with you on everything, and then you feel misled. So
I
probably will
folks,
disagree with me on something. Yep.
Right. I tell folks all the time, if you agree with every single thing your candidates are doing, there's something wrong. Because you know there's something they're doing you don't like. You can't be just like, well, yeah, you know, I know he wants to lock up grandmas, but, lock them up. No, you know what I mean? there's some things you can't, you know, be on board with everything, you know. So I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. Folks, if you're in the Hernando County area and Natalie is your candidate, she gave all the layout right there. If you want to vote for her, she loves the Second Amendment. She wants to help out with education and the standardized testing and all the fun stuff. She's talking with the developer of this 3,000 home development here right off Dunkirk. It's a little patch of woods. All this stuff, we hit it all. If you missed it, www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation, or you can go to my site and see the live feed. You know, it'll be all over the place. It'll be on Natalie's page too. Natalie, thanks again.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Stick around if you like, and you can stay right there on the phone. I'll put you on hold, and you can hang out, or you can go if you got to run. Up to you.
Very good. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. God bless. Take care.
You too.
There you go, folks. That was fun. Now, real quick, we are talking about local elections. Local elections matter. They're very, very important. You heard that interview. I think I asked some pretty good questions, the questions that matter to me. Is she going to stick up for the Confederate statues and monuments, people's history and heritage? Because I believe history and heritage is important. She said, hell yeah. You know, I'm from the North, and I support my Southern brothers and sisters fully with their history and their heritage. I would never ask them to remove it or take it down for any reason whatsoever. Even if, you know, it's their history and their heritage, whether you like it or not. And I ain't never going to tell nobody to take it down. Boom. That simple. She's on that. So she's for you, folks. Vote Natalie Kayla. If not, you know the other alternatives. You know what you got. You know what you're going to get. That type of thing. That's cool. So we are talking about local elections. Local elections matter. What I'm going to do real quick is I'm going to just play Last Call by Dave Bray. This song is about a police officer who's been shot in the line of duty, and it's the last words to his friends and family. The video is intense, and while you listen to the video, I'm going to screen our call and talk to our next guest. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Last call. Let's get it over here. I think I'm going to do it over here. So it comes over clear. Yeah, here we go. Last call, ladies and gentlemen. After this commercial.
No time. These are the last words I'd like to say to you.
Check out Dave Bray, USA, Music on a Mission, the Storyteller Edition. It's a great album. The man is on fire. He just got off a stint. He opened up for Uncle Ted Nugent. But without further ado, I want to bring in my next guest, running for school board to retain his seat. He's going to be chilling out with us right now for the next little bit. His name is Mark Johnson. I voted for him the last round. Let's bring him in right now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. Welcome to Local Elections Matter on the Patriot Nation Radio Show. Welcome, Mark Johnson. Welcome to the show, sir. Welcome. Uh-oh. Got to turn on his mic. Turned on the wrong mic. Hold on.
And we hope she's fine.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show, Mark Johnson. Sorry, sir. Go ahead.
Oh, that's all right. Thank you. And I just wanted to say, as I started to say, thank you to you and some of the listeners for the good wishes to my wife. She took a tumble, and she has an artificial knee. We were a little concerned she may have twisted it, but everything worked out well. We'll go to the doctor on Thursday and make sure that everything is hunky-dory.
Excellent. I said a prayer for her. I'm hoping that she's doing well.
Thank you very much. That's really appreciated. That's what life is all about. It's about family and friends. You know that. I know that. So what would you like to hear about?
I want to hear about Santa Claus. Is he going to come to town this year? No, I'm just kidding. Ladies and gentlemen.
Actually,
no.
He's going to bypass this, and it's all Little Broken Feather's fault. You know, the Indian, Little Broken Feather. And if you don't know who he is, ask around when you see Indians out, if you're around, our Native American friends.
Yes, indeed. We have some local folks. They're in the live feed right now. I see them there. Hello, Philip. What's happening? He's a good friend of mine. He comes to my church sometimes, and he's a biker for Christ. He's got it on his jacket and everything. God bless him. Welcome to the live feed, Phil. You heard Natalie was just on. I don't know if you heard the whole show. She did wonderful. I hope, folks, if you like Natalie, vote for Natalie. If you don't, well, you know the alternatives. There you go. It's that simple. You guys been doing great on the school board. My son goes to Hernando County School that got an A grade. I'm very proud of that. And like I mentioned earlier, I went and checked up on some of the numbers. We've only had one school go ahead and no schools fall behind, and we maintained a B, almost an A-minus grade. What is the plan to try and get that to an A-minus or an A rating for the next rating system without killing the kids with standardized tests? Hello? Uh-oh, I think we lost Mark. Ladies and gentlemen, we lost Mark. Mark, if you're there, I don't know what happened. He went bye-bye. Hello, you there, sir? Ladies and gentlemen, we lost our guest. Maybe call back, sir. I don't know if you can hear me. Hang up, call back. We'll see if that works out. I see him there. His mic's hot. That was a really important question, I thought. Dang it. Mark, are you there? Call back. I don't know if you can hear me. I don't know what's happening here. Hang up, call back. Maybe it'll work. You are completely gone. I hear nothing. Not a thing. Not a peep. I don't think you can hear me, folks. I think we got complete cutoff. What do we got here? Let's try this one.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah,
sorry, Mark.
For whatever reason. Yeah, my phone cut out. I apologize. But these voiceover phones are good and they're bad. And tonight, that one was acting up, so I switched to a different phone. I apologize.
Gotcha. I don't know if you heard my question right before we left.
No.
Right before you went like that. Oh, crud. I can't remember that. That was a good question, too, darn it. All right, I got it. When I was going over the beginning of the show, I talked about the grade for Hernando County Schools as a B. We didn't have any schools go backwards. We had one school go from a D to a C. My son's
That's
school
correct.
Was at an A. We were almost an A minus, according to everything I read. What is the plan to get us to an A minus or an A rating? Without the standardized testing, killing the kids.
Well, we don't have a lot of control over that. So there's a lot of questions in that. When I was first elected in 2014 and stepped into the seat, we were a C minus. We worked very diligently on a plan to elevate the school district. And first, we tackled the initial problem, which was moving the students in the general population in a positive direction. We moved the bar. The students responded, the staff responded, and the district excelled. We became a B. We're a real high B plus. I think last year we were 42 raw points or 6 percentage points from being an A. This year we closed the gap to being 4 points away from being considered an A district. For the last 4 years, we've been a B. And that makes us a high-performing district. We're outperforming Pasco. We're outperforming Citrus. We gave our teachers raises where they get paid slightly more than Pasco, slightly more than Citrus. We were able to afford to give our bus drivers a substantial raise, $1 an hour, which they needed. They desperately were lagging behind Citrus and Pasco counties. And when I was first elected, the whole board walked into a situation where we were $12 million, with a deficit of $12 million. And we've turned that around. When we closed the books on June 30th, at the end of our fiscal year, we had a 7% reserve, which is an amazing feat. It's the first time in 4 years we actually have a little bit of excess money that we can put back into new programs for the schools. Whether we buy new buses or if we give more raises or what we're going to do with it, we haven't looked at that yet. And I don't know if that's coming up on August 28th or in the first meeting in September to discuss what to do with those funds. We've made a lot of strides to bring this district forward. We're bringing the community, getting back to your question, into the schools. We've taken the ivory tower and thrown it away. We're no longer a hierarchical business where there's multiple layers of a bureaucracy. We're leveling it down where it's easier to talk to people. And I think with the change in leadership, you'll find that John Stratton is very open to talk to parents and people and individuals about what's going on in the schools. And we're trying to incorporate that across the board. Everything we do is to benefit the students and the staff. Students come first in the board's mind. It always has, and it will. We're expanding programs. We're giving more opportunities. Some things don't change a lot. And one of those items is that 40% of our students don't go to college. We need to give them the skills to succeed when they leave high school. Our graduation rate has changed. 4 years ago, it was 72%, and now it's up to 83-84% in that range. So we've made significant strides in increasing the education that our students get in the programs and the selections. And my big thrust has been that I ran last time, if you remember, on vocational training, and I brought it into the schools. I'm not done there yet. There's a lot more to do, but we started. We have an HVAC program. We have a refrigeration program. We have a welding program. We have an electrical contracting program that's small. We have carpentry that's associated with a building program at Nature Coast High School. We have automotive. We have culinary programs. There's all kinds of opportunities. Then we have stuff on the technical side as well. And these are all important to give our kids something to strive for and a reason to stay in school. Sorry, I get that.
Right. Nature Coast used to be a technical high school, and it no longer is classified as a technical high school. Is there a plan to build a technical high school or make Nature Coast back to technical? I think that's important to have a school where kids, like, I know what's happening with my son. He's very gifted. He's in these classes. He's way excelling. He's doing really well, and he's bored. So he gets out of his seat. He walks around. Then the test comes, he aces the test, and he walks around, and he disrupts the class because he's bored. And I know I can see what's going to happen is he's going to be some kind of engineer leader. He's going to be in charge somewhere. But he has no place really to train for those jobs. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm glad you thought about that. Let me just back up, and I'll answer that very shortly. With the refrigeration course that we offer, we have job outlets with five-star refrigeration. So those students basically are guaranteed a job placement if they want to work for five-star and travel. We're working on another closer-to-home, more localized refrigeration company to place those students. One of the things I brought to the table when I was elected was the iron workers out of Tampa for welding. They can't get enough welders. And they'll take our graduates with their CTE, their Certificate of Technical Excellence, and they'll hire them at $16 an hour with $2 a year raises, and they'll count that certificate towards a year and a half of a four-year apprenticeship. And if they want to weld underwater at the end of 3 years, they can be earning $100,000 in the Port of Tampa. And they can't get enough welders. They'll never run out of position. That's a win-win. Unlimited supply we can give them of students that are willing to work. And we offer that in adult education in our SunTech program. So it's not just limited to our high school students. We're opening up opportunities. in regards to people, students like your son who excels, one of the things I'm trying to do now is partner with PHSC and get a commercial grade 3D print. One of the other platforms I ran on last time was to bring 3D printing into the schools. Well, it's here. And a lot of the schools have them. They print 11 by 11 by 8 cubes, and they can print objects inside that size. What I want to do is I want to get a commercial grade printer where we can print objects up to 3 and 4 and 5 feet. Excuse me. And what that does, that would allow us to teach CAD programs in the high school in the production and the printing, and then print objects out and develop that love or that desire to go into mechanical engineering. And the part of that for PHSC would be those students would then transfer into PHSC here in Spring Hill or Brooksville for an engineering degree. And that would be a win-win. That would be a career path. I want to see that.
One thing I can tell you, I actually work in a field that are getting some of these welding students out of the schools, and they're not coming out of the schools highly trained. I'll tell you, some of them are got to be retrained when they get to our facility. I'm just saying.
When they come out of school with their certificates, that's why there's an apprenticeship in Tampa to teach them what to do. They have the basic skills. It's like anything that's taught in the school are the basic skills to get started. It's up to the employer to give them that specialized instruction. Now, I want to change that to some degree. What the DOE does, the Department of Education, is they say welding 101. Now, the kid's going to learn 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever it is, for the whole 180 days. They basically establish the curriculum and the course, and that's what you got to stick to. So there's no flexibility. I want to open it up to something I'm calling flexible curriculum for non-core subjects. And by non-core, I'm talking outside of history and math and reading. So that might be carpentry, just for an example. So you teach a student how to work with wood, you know, how to cut a pattern out of a piece of plywood so you get the best use of it, like how to measure, how to drill a hole, whatever it is, use a tape measure. And then the other 20% of the curriculum, you leave that open for the local area to determine what would be taught. Now, in our area, the primary industry is building. So you teach kids how to frame and how to build a house. That would be a skill set that would be useful. If it was in a different part of the state, where they make furniture, it's a place where they make furniture. You give them the opportunity to learn the finishing skills to make fine furniture or cabinets so they can find employment in that industry. And if we open that up in a lot of these other programs, we would make our students, our graduates, would become more employable, more readily employable. Because what do the schools do? They prepare a workforce. They prepare the students for their lives, their careers. I mean, if they're going to go to college and they're going to gain other schools, we have to prepare them to go to college to gain those skills to become teachers, accountants, lawyers, whatever it is, doctors. And if not, we have to make sure they're prepared to go into the workforce with the right skill sets. That's where my emphasis has been, and I'd like to see that continue. And if I'm when I'm reelected, that's what I want to do. I hope I get the votes of your listeners, because I don't run out of ideas. I want to partner with CMIX, for example.
I voted for you last time. I brought you on. I thought you were excellent. I still think you're excellent, and you got my vote this time, folks. Vote Mark Johnson, school board. The schools are doing great, and they're only getting better.
We're being efficient with what we do, Mark. We really are.
Sure.
And we're getting better at it. You know, we have some areas that had some problems and issues, and we'll get around to it. We'll get it fixed. You know, we were fortunate when the track shooting happened in Parkland. The next day, Sheriff Niehaus had SROs in the 10 schools, the 10 elementary schools that we didn't have one in. And our next board meeting, which was 2 weeks after that, we approved the contract, and we had SROs in all our schools because we take our security of our students very seriously. And we were in a position to do that because we were frugal, and we were working the budget the correct way, and we were building it up where we finally managed to have a slight reserve. At the end of the school year, they came to us and said, hey, we have a 7% reserve. And we had looked at it and said, no, we don't, because we had to pay for the new SROs. The FRS, the Florida Retirement System, said they wanted an additional $400,000 a year from us. So that's got to come out of our budget. But we had the funds there to do that, which is amazing. Hillsborough County, I think, has an issue where they had to cut bus routes. You hear it on the news, and there, people are up in arms. We did that 3 years ago. And we went out, and we did away with the courtesy busing, but we did it the right way. We went to the people. We held town hall meetings and said, hey, this is why we're doing it and the reason why. We saved $800,000 by doing that. Hillsborough County is a lot larger than we are. They're going to save tons. You know, when we redistricted 2.5, 3 years ago, again, we had town hall meetings. We met with the parents. We did it smoothly. Not everybody liked it, but we explained the reasoning. We haven't had to change boundaries in 3 years, and we're hoping we don't have to for another 7 and get 10 years out of the set boundaries. Pasco's got issues. You hear them in the news all the time. They're being sued because of the way they did it. We are so much – our organization is top. We have a succession plan in place. We develop leadership skills. There's going to be two more. There's going to be another promotion that's going to have to happen in the next few days, and I'm not going to tell you who it is. But when that assistant principal moves up the ladder, there's somebody moving into that slot. We have so much on the ball, and we're going so we're making the school district great. People are looking to us for ideas. We're so innovative at what we do with what we have.
That's good news.
You know about the gentlemen's clubs, right? Not the ones on 19. The ones we have in our elementary schools. It started in 2 schools, and now it's in 5. And the boys dress up in a button-down dress shirt that's monogrammed UGC for Urban Gentlemen Club, and they all have matching ties, the same school colors. And one day a week, it's yes, sir, no, ma'am. They take the trays for the girls, and they open the doors. We have male role models that come in and teach them skills that a lot of them don't learn at home. A lot of them come from dysfunctional or broken homes, and they're taught, you know, what it means to shake hands, how to act at a table in public. And the parents see the difference. And the behavior
I'm going to send my kid that.
Oh, yeah. The behavioral incidents were reduced by 60% in 2 of the schools that I know of. One's Pine Grove.
Hey.
Pine Grove, yeah, I'm sorry. I can go on and on.
Well, I got a couple of questions I want to hit because I got another guest right behind you also covering local elections. But now the Education Department Secretary, I guess, Ms. Voss.
Yeah.
I had a guest on a few weeks ago. They're talking about merging the Labor Department and the Education Department. And the proposal that they have to change Common Core, what I'm being told is Common Core on steroids. What's coming out of the Education Department? What are they telling you guys as far as Common Core? Because most of us, all of us parents, want Common Core out. Like, they're not teaching my son right now. He's in 2nd grade. They're not teaching him Common Core math. They're teaching him regular math. And then all of a sudden they're going to switch him to Common Core math? I don't know how that works. He's going to be all freaked out.
I want Common Core gone too. I believe that every 3rd grader, I don't care what grade it is, in America, at the end of the year should be exposed to the same material, same curriculum, the same material. The same thing at the end of the term. We're such a mobile society, it only makes sense that the same material is taught nationwide so they're all on the same page and they're not ahead or behind their classmates. How they get there, in my opinion, professionally in the classroom, to get them to that point. I don't think they need this plan that tells them every day what they have to do. It takes creativity away from the teachers. I don't like the testing. Now, the testing is fiscal federalism. And what that actually is the federal government has given gives you title money. We have Title I, Title II, I think there's a Title IX, a Title X money. We get tons of money. We probably get $21, $22 million from the federal government. We run our free lunch program off federal funds. What they do is once you get used to having this money and spending it and using it, they said, well, now if you want to continue to get it, what you're going to have to do is give these tests. And if 95% of the kids don't take this test, we're going to take that money away.
That's bullying by the government. It's bullying. It's bribery. And it's pushing people
yeah.
around.
Okay.
It's like you want to keep you want free lunch for them poor kids who might not eat otherwise.
Yeah.
You want that money?
Some of it's Medicaid dollars and some of it's Title I money for the students who really need the extra help, you know, the handicapped children, either emotionally or physically. And I get it.
Get angry.
And we need the help for those kids. But I don't like the way it's tied. I don't like a test that doesn't measure the students, because those tests, all except for two of them, measure the teacher's performance.
I'm sorry. I am so sorry to say it, but kids need to be allowed to fail so they can rise up. Failure and being defeated and rising from defeat builds character, and it's important to learn how to fail and fail gracefully. You know what I mean?
Well,
the way they do it now, they can't leave a kid behind. Oh, my God, we got to pass him. But he can't read. But we got to pass him. He can't do math. But we got to push him forward. We can't have kids being left back. It looks bad. It lowers our grade. And then you get false results.
The thing that they started to fix here is as long as the third grade reading test and the 10th grade algebra have to be passed, you can't get a high school diploma without passing algebra. So they give it to them in 10th grade. If they fail it, they have a couple times, at least five more times they can take that test before they become a senior, you know, in the second term. So there's opportunities to pass that test. The reading test used to be cut and dry. You failed that if you got less than a 2, and 3 is considered passing. It's a 5-point scale. If you got under a 2, you were going to be retained in the third grade. Now they changed it where if you take the test and you fail it and there's mitigating circumstances, or if you can prove through a portfolio or go to a summer school and take a different test and prove you can read, the child can be moved on to the next grade. That never happened before. That's a change in the law. That's a good thing.
Yep.
What they're saying is they can't be retained on the basis of the one test. Now, if they opt not to take that test, then there's no option. You know, then they didn't even take it. So it doesn't count.
Yep.
Then they have to take the third grade again because they didn't take the test. But they can only be retained in the grade one time.
You can't
be a third grade for 3 years, you know.
I'm going to ask you straight up now. Here comes another straight up question.
Go for it.
I voted for you in the last election. I like what I'm hearing. Why should I vote for you in this election? And then tell folks how we can connect with Mark Johnson if we want to help with the campaign or whatever.
Sure.
Why should we vote for you?
There's more to do. My thrust and my emphasis is giving the kids skills so they can succeed in life. That's what I believe in. That's what I've done. That's what I'm going to continue to do. I know the business side of education. I know how it works. I'm hooked up with the – I don't want to say hooked up. I have a relationship or a friendship with the legislation, which is important to get changes done. It's not just about teaching a class in a classroom, being on a board. We control a budget that's $160 million. It's complex. There's a lot of issues. I understand the issues. I work with people. I've got the community involved in education. And business partners come and do things. There's one thing we didn't talk about that I'm doing, and I'm starting, hopefully shortly, a community-based contracting program to teach people skills to be laborers, either as electricians, plumbers, or carpenters. And this is going to be open more for adults than kids. This is being done outside the school district. It's called community-based education, so we don't have to follow a curriculum. What we're going to follow is what the needs are of the individual contractors in Hernando County so that they have a labor pool to work for them because they can't find enough laborers. I find solutions to problems. Now, if you want to connect with my campaign, there's two ways you can do it. You can go to my website, which is markjohnsoncampaign2018.com. You go to my Facebook, which is markjohnsoncampaign2018. You like that? That's kind of good. Or you can call. I have a number that people can call, and I'll gladly take volunteers. And that's I lost my phone. It's Well, they can call me at the house. I'll tell you what. I don't mind giving out my number. 688-6118. Ask for me, and I could use the help. By the way, in all seriousness, this election for the school board and for the judge, Don Barbie's. Is running for judge now. will be determined in the primary. They're not going to the general election. It's a nonpartisan race, so please, you know, ask your audience. I'm asking your audience, please, please vote in the primary. That's when it'll be determined. That's when the future of your children and the future of our county will be determined.
Damn, folks. Mark Johnson, school board, if he's your man, vote him in. He's got my vote. I like what he's done as a school board member. I'm very proud to say I voted for him last time, and I'm very proud to say he's got my vote this time. Thanks a lot, Mark.
Thank you, Mark. Bye-bye now.
And if you want, I'm going to put you back on hold. If you want to stick around and hear the next guest, it's up to you. I'm going to put you in hold. Thanks a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Johnson, running for school board. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm running behind, so I'm going to bring Alexandra in right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Alexandra Levine from America First Coalition. What's happening?
Hey, Mark, how are you? Long time no hear. I heard you had a great vacation, though.
Oh, yeah, it was a lot of fun. We went all over the place, did a lot of stuff. It was amazing what you can accomplish in 6 days when you're focused.
That's true. Well, I actually was in D.C. Practically the whole summer. I was building up America. I was building up America First Coalition Maryland, which was awesome. Amen. I had my first event there. And I had two guest speakers. The first guest speaker was Jesse Jane Duff. She's a retired Marine. She's very pro-Trump. She has been on Fox Business and Fox News Channel for a couple years now. And then I had Hubert Owens. Hubert Owens was running for Congressional District 2 in Maryland. Unfortunately, he lost his primary, but he is the state committeeman up in Maryland. And he has been working with a lot of different Republican groups in Maryland and Virginia. I met another woman, her name is Heather Rice. She's working Virginia for us. She runs a lot of Republican women's groups up in Virginia. And it was funny. It was a very diverse group of people. I had a woman from Russia who's very pro-Trump. She has obtained her American citizenship. She's had it for 13 years now. I met
from
people
Russia.
From Colombia.
Uh-oh.
I met, yeah, from Russia. From Russia with love. Oh,
watch out, we're colluding now.
She's not a part of the KGB, I promise you. No, she's very good. And I met a guy from Spain. He was doing a study abroad in America, and he was up on Capitol Hill. He spoke with Speaker Paul Ryan, very involved in politics. So it was interesting. It was a very diverse group of people, and it was nice just to get the ball rolling. And I'll be doing a lot more events up in Maryland and building up that coalition up in Maryland. I did have a chance to go up to Capitol Hill. I met with Congressman Brian Mast, who's running for re-election down here in Florida. I had the pleasure of meeting Senator Tim Scott. Yeah.
I had Brian Mast on the show.
Yeah,
he voted for that bogus gun law, though. He's
yes,
always to take
did.
The guns
away
from 18-20-year-olds.
Yeah, he did. I mean, I'll be honest, you know, his district is kind of flip-flopped on him a little bit. He's like 50-50. So he's got to pull kind of like a Hail Mary to get reelected. Hopefully it'll work out for him. I mean, I met him. He's a nice guy. I give him a lot of credit. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if for your viewers out there, he's a double amputee. He lost both of his legs in war. So he served our country. So I give him credit for that every single day. And he's also a big supporter of Israel. Yeah, he's a big supporter of Israel. I met him in Mar-a-Lago for the Truth About Israel, the event that he went to at Mar-a-Lago at the end of February. So anyone that supports Israel, you know, that goes straight to my heart as a Jew for Trump. And as a Jewish person myself, Israel is very important to me. And he was a big proponent of the move of the embassy. But we'll see how his reelection goes. We'll see. I had the opportunity meeting Senator
God
Tim
bless.
Scott. Yeah, God bless him. Yeah, Tim Scott's in South Carolina, big pro-Trump guy. I walked into Orrin Hatch's office. He's retiring. Mitt Romney is running for his seat. But he's a good man. He's always been a good man. Yeah, I know Mitt Romney. Oh, yeah, yeah. I walked into Lee Zeldin's office. Lee Zeldin, he is in Congress up in New York. He's a big Trump supporter. He's Jewish himself. He's part of he works at the Freedom Caucus. I had the pleasure of meeting with Congressman Matt Gaetz, who's also part of the Freedom Caucus. He's in a nice he's going to be reelected, hopefully, in Congressional District 1. Congressional District 2. Yeah, I actually I have met Ron DeSantis on a personal note. I've met him personally in his office. I've met him in Miami. I've met him many times, and I will say on the record that my coalition has endorsed Congressman Ron DeSantis for governor of Florida. We are working on his campaign now currently. I had the opportunity of going to the Trump rally in Tampa. I was VIP.
I was in New York.
And I saw him. Oh, yeah. It was a great rally. I mean, thousands of people, everybody. The crowd size was huge. Big league. There was about 10,000 to 15,000 plus people. I have pictures of the real crowd. CNN or fake news says there was only 2,000 people there. It's fake news. It was packed. It was packed.
There was 12 to 15,000 inside and 10 to 12,000 outside.
Yep.
That's what I heard.
That's right. Yeah, I had friends that tried to get in. They couldn't get in. They had to leave. It started to rain. But it was
and
it
our
was
friend
great.
Rick Sarmiento. Rick Sarmiento and others escorted a protester out who was causing some trouble.
Yep, I saw that. That person was from CARE. CARE, as you know, is a terrorist organization. Yeah. They are affiliated with Hamas. They were wearing a Habib, and they were spewing hateful rhetoric. They got him out. They got him out. You can't have somebody like that in there. And that was the only protester of the night. I went to a pre-Trump rally an hour before at the Embassy Suites Hotel with Ron DeSantis. I met his lovely wife, Casey, there again, and a bunch of Ron DeSantis supporters. I mean, he's up in the polls. Some polls say he's up 12 points. Some polls say he's up 17 points. He's going to win. I mean, he's going to win his primary. I mean, he's got the best endorsement of all the president, and he's a good guy. He's a fair guy.
The only problem I have with the whole thing is there's more than two candidates running, and I don't think it's right that the other candidates don't get a fair shake to try and get in the race, whether we like them or not. They deserve to have a fair shake, especially if they're actually listed on the ballot. If they're listed on my ballot, I should be able to see them in a debate and make a decision whether I want them over Ron DeSantis or Putnam or whoever else is going to be in the race, the two. All they do is put Putnam and DeSantis up there. And there's like six other candidates that are running for governor that are officially on the ballot. And nobody talks about any of them. Whether you like them or not, we should be able to hear their voice. Don't you agree?
I do agree with that. And I know the guys that you're talking about. To the other guys' credit, I mean, Bruce Nathan is on Facebook Live every single night, Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. Yep. He's always on there. People see him. Bob White had a booth at the summit in Kissimmee. Bob White got to speak at the summit in Kissimmee, and I did see Bob White get interviewed by ABC News and Fox News. I mean, he's gotten his word out too. So I have seen these guys that don't have as big of a platform as Ron or Adam Putnam. I have seen them be interviewed. I have seen them pay for booths. I have seen them go to events, and I've seen them campaigning left and right. So they are getting the credibility.
The Republican National Committee and other committees deserve to give these guys a fair shake. Facebook Live is not live on Fox News. You know what I mean? I mean, there is a difference. I understand what you're saying. And I had Bob White, and I had Bruce Nathan, and I had Don Baldoff on the show. I had three other these candidates come on the show.
And all three are wonderful guys. They're wonderful guys. I mean, the first event I had was with Bruce Nathan. I mean, we hosted a dinner for him. He got the platform. He spoke, for 20 to 30 minutes. He took questions afterwards. I mean, it's all on public record on Facebook. You can go back and look through the archives. So we did give him, we did give him a platform, and I'm still friends with a lot of his people that work on his campaign. He's a good person. But based on certain things that my coalition looked at and other things that people looked at, my coalition came together as a consensus, and that's why we are endorsing or have endorsed Ron DeSantis. And my national leader will write my national leader is going to write out a certain paragraph why we have endorsed certain candidates and the reasoning. And we encourage the candidates that have not won the primaries or candidates that that are in the running, if they do not win the primary, we encourage them to support the candidate that does win in the primary and to work with them and to back them 100%. Because and the reason I say this is because we don't want the Republican Party to stay divisive. We have to unite. And that's what our coalition is about. It's about unification. And that's why people, you know, people look at the Democrats. You can say whatever you want about the Democrats, but they unite amongst each other. They united against, they united with Hillary Clinton, and the American people saw that, and the American people need to see that the Republican Party can do the same thing also. That's the point.
That's important. And it's important to get involved. If folks want to link up with America First Coalition, how can you do that?
I agree with you. And we are, as you remember, Mark, we are a newer coalition. We've been up and running for about 7 or 8 months now, but we are a growing coalition. I mean, I have calls left and right on a day. My phone is like is attached to me like the hip. People have been asking me to help them, to do events for them. We're trying to put some fundraisers together for certain candidates. I just had a debate for the Congressional District 15 candidates. Unfortunately, only 3 out of the 5 candidates showed up. The 2 guys, Ross Spano and Neil Comey, did not show up. But we had Danny Kushmer, we had Dr. Ed Shoemaker, and Sean Harper there. And it was a great event. It would have been great if all 5 of the candidates showed up. But the 2 top guys, they didn't feel like showing up. They just didn't want to show up. But it was a great event in Lakeland. We had it at a restaurant. We had it at the Grillsmith restaurant, and they were very accommodating to us. It was moderated by a non-biased moderator from Sarasota County, Richard Levine. He's a TV and radio personality, and it was a great event. It was a great event.
Awesome.
And I thoroughly enjoyed hosting it.
Yeah, it sounds fun. I got invited to it, but I think I was in New York. So I think I had left for New York.
You were. Because I was like, oh, Mark, let's promote this on your show. And you were like, oh,
yep.
I'm out of town. But I guess you need a vacation too.
Sometimes you gotta have some time off.
You do a lot.
If folks want to hook up with America First Coalition, what is the links and how do folks link up and get part of America First Coalition?
Perfect. So our website is www.americafirstcoalition.org. That's www.americafirstcoalition.org. You can Facebook us, America First Coalition, America First Coalition Florida, America First Coalition Maryland. Any state that you are based out of, there's always an America First Coalition Facebook for the state that you live in. You can also Facebook me, Alexandra Levine. I'm also on Twitter at America. The word first, capital M, capital D, and then at America, the number 1, ST, capital F, capital L. You can also hook up on my personal Twitter page at Alexandra, Alexandra, capital Levi, 20. So it's at Alexandra Levi, 20, which is they cut half my last name off, but that's fine. That's Twitter. And that's the best way to reach us. And like I said, we're still looking for state leaders. We're still looking for district leaders and volunteers. We will be doing a lot for the primary elections. We'll be out there the day of the primary, promoting different candidates, helping them out. On the record, America First Coalition, we have endorsed Frank White for Attorney General. We have endorsed Tommy Gregory for State Representative District 73. We have endorsed Rick Scott for U.S. Senate. I know, Mark, you have a difference in that, an opinion, but we have endorsed him based on what we've read and based on the statistics. And like I said, we have endorsed Congressman Ron DeSantis for governor of Florida. And we've also endorsed other local guys, too. We've endorsed Greg Stube. He's running for U.S. Congressional District 17. We've also endorsed Joe Gruters, who's running for State Senate District 23. This is all Sarasota County elections. We've endorsed Christian Ziegler. Christian Ziegler is running for Sarasota commissioner, and also his wife, Bridget Ziegler, is running for school board. I think it's District 1. So he and his wife, they're in there. And that's it so far. That's it so far in terms of
Excellent.
Endorsements. But like I said, my national leader is going to write a paragraph about why our coalition has endorsed certain candidates over others. And like I said, I encourage, you know, people that have not won the primaries to defend and hook up with people that have won primaries. Because it's important. Yeah. My coalition is also working with Marsha Blackburn's campaign. She's running for senator in Tennessee. We're working with Jim Renacki, who's up in Ohio. We're working with Troy Balderson. We're working with Kris Kobach. Basically, any candidate that President Trump has endorsed, America First Coalition has endorsed that candidate and is working on that candidate's campaign.
Amen. I want to
because,
thank
again,
you so much.
Because, again, we are a pro-Trump. Well, I was just going to say we are a pro-Trump, pro-conservative coalition. We endorse President Trump. We endorse any candidate that President Trump endorses and candidates that support President Trump and his agenda. And if you haven't gone to see Dinesh D'Souza's movie, Death of a Nation, I encourage everybody to go see it. It opens your mind. It tells you the difference between Nazism, socialism, communism, and how President Trump is none of those things. And I encourage every young person, every independent people that have been on the fence about President Trump to go see Dinesh D'Souza's movie, Death of a Nation, at a theater near you.
Amen. Again, thank you so much for coming on. Thanks for your time. I'm sorry it ran a little late. I got to wrap up here.
That's okay.
Got to get my son into bed and stuff and get ready to go to work tomorrow. I get up 4:30 a.m. Folks, it's a late night every night. I'm lacking sleep. Again, Alexander, thanks for coming on. And I will talk to you soon.
Thanks so much, Mark.
Maybe after the primary, we'll do another show.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd appreciate that.
And check this out real quick. Ladies and gentlemen, get on board, ladies. Get on board. I love that sound effect. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all for tuning in. I'm going to do, of course, real fast. I got to tell you the schedule. I got a great show coming up. We have booked an amazing guest. You will not believe your ears when you hear this guest. But this week on Thursday, Teresa Giffen, they're trying to kill her husband off and steal his estate. And it's happening right here in the Sunshine State. That's crazy what's happening. They're killing him in hospice to get his estate. That is the claim. She'll be on this Thursday. And then Monday we have Monday. I got a really big show on Monday. I got Mike Phillips is going to join us. He's got some breaking news, some infiltrators in the movement and all kinds of crazy stuff going on with that. And then on the 23rd of August, running for Agriculture Secretary of Florida, Mike McAllister, and also Sheriff Joe Arpaio will be joining us. That's right. On the 23rd, he will be joining us in the second half of the show. So you want to come on and listen to Mike McAllister, running for Agriculture Secretary. He's the only veteran. He is a colonel, and he'll be coming on. That is the 23rd. So we got some good stuff coming up right up in the future here, folks. So you want to make sure you tune in. And with that, we're going to bail out right quick. I'm going to do this. We're going to do the Star Spangled Banner, and we're going to all go to bed. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Join me as we do the Star Spangled Banner. Thank you. There you have it, folks. Dave Bray USA, Music on Dave Bray USA, Music on a Mission, the Storyteller Edition. Get your copy today. With that, I want to say goodnight. God bless each and every one of you. Thanks for tuning in. And that's right, you heard it here, folks. Colonel Mike McAllister, followed by Sheriff Joe, coming up on the 23rd. Sheriff Joe R. Pyle live on Patriot Nation Radio, the 23rd of August, 8:35 p.m. He'll be live right here. Thanks and good night. Love each and every one of you. Without you, there's no show. Peace.